Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome on in to today's FreightWaves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix here with Alan Adler, host and writer of our Truck Tech Show and newsletter. Alan, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday.
Hey, good to see you, Kaylee.
Great to see you as always. And we are here to preview your show that's coming up a little bit later on in the afternoon for us here on FreightWaves TV. Today, we've got another good one talking about one of our favorite diesel alternatives, natural gas. And is it truly a resurgence that's coming to the space? Talk to us a little bit about if that question is feasible or just fallacy.
I think it's for real, Kaylee. And here's the reason. If you go to a place like Salisbury, North Carolina, which I did last week, and you go to Hexagon Agility, which is the maker of the tanks, basically, for all sizes of natural gas vehicles, you'll see that they've got 130,000 square feet that they've set aside for expansion. They're going to start making the tanks there that they now make in Lincoln, Nebraska. They'll continue the operations in Nebraska, but they're adding all of this capacity because of one new product, honestly, and that's the Cummins X15 natural gas engine. The X15 is sort of the workhorse of trucking in terms of, most truck makers have two engine varieties. They have their own that they make, and then they buy from Cummins. Cummins' X15 is sort of legendary at this point in terms of being, kind of best of breed. And what Cummins is doing is moving towards what they call a fuel agnostic strategy. They start with natural gas. It will eventually be, hydrogen burning, in the engine, H2ICE as it's called. And then other types of fuels. Now, Cummins, interestingly enough, is doing a program tomorrow on what they're doing with all of this. But we've been watching this X15 ever since it debuted in China, the natural gas version. They'll build it at Jamestown, New York. They expect to build, I think, 3,000 of them this year. But the interesting thing, and this is a story I wrote several months ago with the head of On Highway at Cummins, he thinks this could reach 10% penetration of all of the engines used in Class 8 trucks. So think about that for a minute. Natural gas has been historically kind of 1% to 2%, bounces around here and there. But now you're looking at something with this new engine that has the torque and the horsepower to meet up pretty much with what diesel can give you. And you get the sort of lower nitrous oxide or NOx emissions, which is critical come 2027. So there's a lot of things working together, but this opportunity to tour the Hexagon Agility plant really brought it into focus for me.
So I love that. And we know that, as you mentioned, Cummins is kind of the leader in this fuel agnostic wave, looking at developing their engines. And they have that massive hold on the market, right? A lot of these OEMs are using the Cummins engine, which is great, looking forward at their forward-leaning plans for product development. What other groups are now looking to maybe use this as a viable option? So who is looking to now become a customer of Hexagon if they're looking to continue to supply these fuel tanks?
Well, you've already had some pretty big orders. I'm sorry, I'm not sure I answered the question. There are competitors for Hexagon Agility. Forvia, which is one. There is Plastic Omnium and others. There's a number of them that are building them or making them, I should say. But Hexagon also is part of the Hexagon Group, which makes the tanks for hydrogen as well. Now, that's a different operation. That's called Hexagon Purus. But the competitive state really at this point, I think you're looking at, where's the scale going to come from? The Hexagon Agility operation, which I'm not exactly sure what the capacity ultimately will be. We get into that a little bit in the piece today. But the thought is that they want to be and will be ready. They've also set up sort of a true network in terms of how to service these trucks. That's something that, all of the OEMs are keen to in the thought of keeping these trucks up and running, uptime being everything. But you've also got a pretty fast, they're more expensive, by the way, but they do have a pretty fast return on investment, maybe 18 months or something like that. Because once you get into using renewable natural gas, which is quite a bit cheaper than diesel, your fuel bill's coming down. And again, this is a sustainability play for a lot of manufacturers whose customers are saying, whose fleets are saying, look, we've got this issue. We want you to fix it for us. And so this is one way to do that.
So, Alan, what you're telling me right now, everything sounds good. I haven't quite gotten a negative piece out of this. And you're looking at this and you're wondering, okay, where's the other shoe? What's going to be the detraction point from making the swap to natural gas? What does this look like if there are truly any? And is it making any of these folks maybe a little bit more trepidatious to make that switch?
Well, I think if you still got California to think about. And California says it's electricity or bust. It's not going to be any type of fuel that you're burning, but you've got sort of dueling regulations coming in. You've got the NOx regulations from the EPA in 2027 and natural gas, renewable natural gas. Let's be clear, we're not talking about petroleum-based natural gas. Already is under the limit that is prescribed in the legislation as we know it. Getting there with diesel is going to require a second after-treatment system, another $12,500 roughly, something like that. The talk is that, when you get to this, these dual systems, they should be looking at maybe $25,000 more per truck. And so we're looking on the economic side at a pretty substantial pull ahead in buying. This happens every time there are new regulations. And so the thought is, if you can get people into these natural gas trucks, this is going to give them an opportunity to meet the EPA thing as well as have some level of lower overall emissions. Right now, California doesn't really feel like it's going to yield. However, this is a pretty good, at least interim strategy on the way to electricity. And the idea of it growing, is something that is always about, do you have enough power? Can you move the loads the same way you can on a diesel? And there's very few differences. And you're right that there's not a lot of negatives that I can point to right now around natural gas, except for the acquisition cost. I mean, it's not like you're buying a hydrogen truck. Those are horrifically expensive. But this is something that I think is definitely going to be in the mix, especially on a use case basis. I mean, you're really looking now at a truck that, can go 1,200 miles between fill-ups, with renewable natural gas. You've also got a pretty good infrastructure growing now. Companies like Trillium, which is owned by Love's, and a few others are building renewable natural gas operations. 98% of all natural gas in California right now is renewable natural gas, about 64% across the country. So you are getting that infrastructure. And again, I'm having a hard time right now finding sort of, what's the problem? Well, of course, the problem is always, what if nobody buys them? But we don't think that's happening because we've already seen some pretty decent sized orders, from some of the larger fleets.
So as you mentioned, California with its regulation has this idea of electricity or bust, and a lot of their state grants or state programs that help fund purchase of these alternative fuel vehicles are geared towards that mindset, right? Towards electricity or bust. What about other states who are now encouraging these alternative fuels and even federal regulation? Is there a space for grant money or funding money for maybe some of these, we call them like stair-step fuels, I guess would be a good way to call it?
I don't think you're going to see the level of incentives that you do for electric trucks and infrastructure around electricity because that's so new and it's, obviously quite expensive and it challenges the whole idea of what the grid is and things like that. Now, it's interesting because just yesterday, NFI Industries, which was very early into the whole electrification space, they were part of the original Freightliner test program along with Penske. And yesterday, they opened their electric depot in Ontario, California. It's almost fully energized. It's 7 megawatts of power. It can do, I think it's 38 trucks. And about 90% of the drayage trucks in the NFI fleet now are electric. So for that 220-mile run, which would be sort of two trips to the port and back in a day, they're in really good shape. And I for Friday, we'll have a little piece with Jim O'Leary, who's the head of assets for NFI, talking about, what they hope to do at that depot, including a microgrid based on solar. So there's a lot of things going on in this space. We're not going to pick, at least not today anyway, winners and losers. There are pressure points. We talked about California, but certainly you've got some that are early movers, like in electrification, who are far better off because they tested it. I think NFI says they've got 2 million miles of electric driving at this point, on electric trucks, which is pretty amazing, really. And, so I think that's moving ahead, right? But I don't think that we're going to find one bucket that's going to work for everybody. So this natural gas move, you know, is 10% ambitious? It certainly is. But I think you will see a significant rise in natural gas truck purchases.
So I want to wrap this up by bringing in the perspective of providers like Hyliion, who we know have been in this alternative fuels conversation for a while, right? When they had that initial focus on the hydrogen side of things. Does this now put some intense pressure on them to maybe shift some of their development abilities into the natural gas space as well? Or are they looking at sticking with what they know and going with what they got instead of trying to compete on a smaller scale?
Well, Hyliion is remade. We just covered them last Friday in some depth in the newsletter and talked with Thomas Healy, who's really kind of a Freightways favorite. I mean, you know, he's well liked around here. I will tell you this. Hyliion has basically given up for now its powertrain ambitions. They were working towards something called the Hypertruck ERX, which was a electric and natural gas truck. So they were right here in this natural gas space. They were working with Cummins, as a matter of fact. When Cummins was, you know, worked with them, partnered with them to get the 12-liter natural gas engine, which is sort of the industry go-to today, you get that certified for the Hypertruck ERX. However, Hyliion basically was not finding enough customers. The product they were doing, the sort of the hybrid or the serial hybrid technology, was just too expensive at over $400,000 a truck. They just weren't attracting more than that kind of passing interest. So they pivoted. And now what they're doing is they're using a technology called Carno that they purchased from General Electric to, it's also fuel agnostic, by the way, to make electricity from all kinds of different sources, including, you know, like flare gas from oil fields and landfills. And also, you know, they can use hydrogen, they can use natural gas, but they want to get into the servicing sort of the infrastructure space, starting with these electric charging hubs, like I mentioned with NFI. So I think they're, you know, we're going to find out. I mean, this is sort of a second gas for them. They were, unlike most SPACs that went public a few years ago, they've actually held on to some of their money. They have a second chance. So we'll see if they can convert on it. You know, and actually make a business, you know, out of basically generating electricity and seeing, you know, I speculated, and I'm not far off on this, by the way, if I'm off at all, that, you know, Cummins is a great acquirer for them. If they prove out the Carno technology, that's something that could really help the Cummins business because they do data centers and they do generators, you know, diesel power generators. So there's a lot of potential there for Hyliion, but it won't be in the powertrain space.
And we are excited to see where they continue to go. As you mentioned, Thomas Healy, not just a favorite of ours at FreightWaves, Tim Dooner has a soft spot.
For man crush. Yeah.
I'm going to call it that.
Yeah, once upon a time, though, Haley, he had a man crush on Trevor Milton. So we got to be really careful about him, you know?
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, Alan, thank you for joining us this morning for our community spotlight. Of course, you can find Truck Tech, the show, this afternoon right here on FreightWaves TV. Subscribe to the Truck Tech newsletter as well. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.